Fed Chair Janet Yellen strikes an upbeat tone on the U.S. economy. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. In a speech at an international banking seminar here in Washington yesterday, Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen said she expects the U.S. labor market to recover quickly after a decline last month related to Hurricane Irma. Yellen also indicated the Fed will likely continue raising interest rates, despite what she called surprisingly low inflation. Julia Coronado joins me now. She's founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Julia, what does the Fed chair see?
The Fed has another rate hike or two to get to a more neutral stance. They don't think they need to be stimulating the economy quite as aggressively as they have been in recent years. But beyond that, I think she did indicate a lot of flexibility, that they're going to try and figure out what they're learning from this persistently low inflation.
What do you mean by neutral?
The interest rate right now is set at 1 to 1.25, but inflation is running 1.5%. And that means that interest rates after inflation are actually negative. And that's a very stimulative stance for the Fed. And so they really think that they should be closer to zero on the real interest rate, which is another rate hike, maybe two.
Central bankers also talked about asset prices at this meeting. What do we know about what Yellen's thinking is there?
Yeah, that's something that the Fed doesn't talk very openly about their concerns about asset prices, but the minutes from their recent meeting suggest they are concerned about the fact that asset prices keep rising in a way that's seemingly disconnected from economic developments. And if you look at the last two recessions, they were caused by asset bubbles, not rising inflation. So I think the Fed is concerned about that and makes them lean towards raising interest rates, even gradually.
Meanwhile, we have a new study out this morning from the White House arguing that cutting the corporate tax rate would boost household income. What should we keep in mind, given that the White House is trying to sell tax cuts here?
So if you look into the study, what they're assuming is that lower tax rates would lead companies to invest a lot more and to hire a lot more. And both of those things would add to workers' wages. But in the past, when we've had tax cuts, sometimes companies don't invest more. Sometimes they use those windfall gains to pay more dividends to their shareholders, which is good for their shareholders, but maybe not quite as rosy a scenario for the workers.
All right. Julia Coronado with Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Distracted driving causes more than 3,000 deaths a year. The National Highway Traffic Administration says it also costs $46 billion annually for injuries, vehicle repairs, even lost productivity. Texting while driving is illegal in almost every state, but unless police catch you doing it, it can be very hard to prove. Now New York State and Chicago are reviewing a device called the Textilizer. Its software would allow police to scan a driver's phone for activity. Sally Herships has more.
In 2011, Ben Lieberman got the call every parent dreads. His college-age son had been in a car accident, and he later died. Lieberman was told the driver fell asleep at the wheel, but the accident happened during rush hour on a windy road. So Lieberman wondered if the driver had been texting, but says he was shocked at how difficult that can be to investigate.
I learned the hard way that there's really no system in place right now.
It took Lieberman 6 months in court to get the driver's phone records, but phone records don't show as much as you might think. CTIA, a trade association that represents the wireless industry, says they don't show when specific apps like Snapchat or Instagram are used.
Saying get the phone records is like saying take a breathalyzer test that only detects tequila.
But there's no breathalyzer-like device for cell phones. So Lieberman became an activist, talking to legislators, police, and tech companies, like Cellebrite, which began developing a prototype, a tablet about the size of an iPad, which police can plug into a driver's phone. Software scans the phone's system logs and pulls up a list of activity, but it doesn't show content.
No.
It wouldn't be able to see my Facebook page.
Nope, nothing.
Cellebrite says since it's in the prototype stage, pricing has yet to be determined. The company says police departments would likely need to buy a device and a subscription for upgrades and support.
You know, there are a lot of questions about this Textilizer app. What exactly does it do? What exactly does it look at?
Jay Stanley is with the ACLU. He says the Textilizer violates our constitutional rights.
So for centuries, we've had a very clear legal framework by which government agents access extremely private sources of information about us, and that's the warrant based on a probable cause.
Stanley says police can search you without a warrant if you're arrested, but your phone is different. So even pulling up a list of apps would be intrusive. Hannah Block Wiebe, who teaches media law at Yale, agrees. The issue here, she says, is that just looking at activity on your phone is a search.
The analogy is sort of like if the police were to come and open your file cabinet and look at all of the titles, but weren't to look at the contents of those files.
Safe driving activist Ben Lieberman says the textilizer won't invade anyone's privacy. It can be modified. Governor Cuomo's Traffic Safety Committee is reviewing the technology, and the state wants to get feedback from drivers this fall. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
And we're also following news this morning that Colin Kaepernick, the football player who started kneeling during the national anthem to protest social injustice, is filing a grievance against the NFL. After he opted out of his contract with the San Francisco 49ers in March, the quarterback hasn't been picked up by another team. It'll be up to Kaepernick to prove that the teams actively conspired against him. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.